This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. How thankful we are today that we're all here together. It's good to see every one of you. Before I begin the message, let's look at the prayer list on your bulletin there. We have people that we pray for. We have a men's prayer meeting on Tuesday night, and they always pray for all of these. We have prayer meeting on Wednesday night. We always pray for these. You probably pray for these in your Sunday school classes, your small groups, and so forth. And I might just point out one or two that we're going to think about in prayer right now. We miss Carolyn Griffin, and Carolyn is with over in Little Rock with her sister Nancy Roberts. Is that correct? Chestine, and so we're praying for Nancy during this time. Really need to pray for them. We're praying for Craig and Virginia Chambers there in Richmond, Virginia, with the foreign missionaries there working and serving with them, and we're praying for them. We're going to keep praying every day and every night for them till they get back home. We are so thankful for what they're doing. On our prayer list, you notice we have Jonathan and Elizabeth Bennett. And Jonathan and Elizabeth, I looked back there and I thought, that's Jonathan and Elizabeth there. And you've been on our prayer list for several weeks now. And we are praying so earnestly for you both. And what's the little boy, your son's name? That's John Henry. Why, sure. And the unborn baby's name? Eliza. I love that name. Eliza. And so we're praying for her, for you. For your family, we understand some of the things that are going on there as a congregation, and we're just praying so earnestly for you all during these days. Also, it's good to have John Pam Dooley's family here. It's good to have you all here, and we're thankful that you're able to visit with the folks here today. It's so good to see you. And looks like Colt has a friend back there with him today, and we're glad that you do. I was looking at other visitors. We have several around the congregation here. Some back yonder. Travis, our law enforcement officer, back yonder, Travis Turner. We are praying. We're thankful you're here, Travis. And his name's been in the paper lately, the Nashville papers, because of the good work that he's doing catching these drug offenders. Not an easy task. And we need to keep Travis and how many are in the group with you? Whole bunch of y'all in there. Dozens. Well, I mean, in the police officers, whole bunch of y'all. 11 deputies, and we need to pray for these men and pray for all of them and for their families. And I want always to honor them and to let them know how much we love them and appreciate them, and how much we pray for them, because these are difficult times for everyone. And we certainly are praying for Travis and the many others who work with him. I talked this morning to the Wintons, Miley. We're praying for this. The last name on your list is Miley Winton. Leslie and Zach Winton are the parents. And Leslie had the baby this week over in Little Rock. And the baby that we've been praying, their name's been on along with Jonathan and y'all because the difficulties she was having with the pregnancy and all. Well, anyway, the little baby was born 2 pounds and 3 ounces. And he's in the neonatal, or she's in the neonatal unit at Children's Hospital. And we talked to her on the phone this morning, and Leslie said, well, we're just getting ready to go to the hospital. I'm going to see her for the first time. 2 pounds, 3 ounces. And we just need to pray for all of these and all of these things that are going on. But I wanted to share that with you, and you'll be praying for a little. They named her Miley Winton. 2 pounds and 3 ounces. When Ann and I visited that neonatal unit, we've seen those little babies weighed 1 pound. And they lived, yes. And so we just appreciate so much the doctors and everybody else at these wonderful places that care for the little ones. So let's just go to the Lord in prayer today, and we want to pray for Mike Crisp, and you all know him. I don't know him, but you all do, and I'm sure you'll take care of helping out all you possibly can as we try to help those that are in such need. I didn't mention Wes Reed back yonder, and Wes, just hold up your hand there just a second. There's Wes sitting by himself. Some of y'all around here, you knew Fombie Jackson. How many of you? Yeah, that was his grandfather. His mother is Diane. His daddy is James Reed. And Wes and his family lived across the street for us for years. And Wes graduated, has a degree in organ. What is it, a master's degree? A bachelor's in organ. He's one of the rare few organ players in the world. That's just, you're a special person. I tried to get him to come play ours, but he said, I know it. I'm not. He's been playing over at Hot Springs Village. I think that maybe he's not doing that as of last Sunday or so. But he decided he wanted to come up and be with Brother David and Miss Anna and the church here. And Wes said that years ago, he and, what was the group's name? Doxology. They would come up and sing for you all here. And but anyway, he's one of the finest organists in the whole world as far as I'm concerned. And Wes, we're glad that you're here. It means a lot that you wanted to come up here the Sunday after you left that church out there. You've been in Dallas and Fort Worth. He had many churches over there that he played the organ for. For example, name one. Name another one. Name another one. Broadway. Many of those large churches that have the big pipe organs, I mean, my soul, but he plays them and is a wonderful organist. So we're glad that you're here today. And you'll have to come back and, I guess you could play our little organ, couldn't you? It doesn't pipes on it or anything, but you could do that for us as well. Let's go to the Lord and pray about all these I mentioned. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this beautiful Sunday morning. And we're grateful that you are with us and you're living within us by your Holy Spirit. And you are here present in this very place. And dear Lord, we're thankful for all the love that is here because we love you and you love us and you are in us. And we love one another as you have loved us. Dear Father, I thank you for these who are having special problems. And I just pray, oh God, that you will help each one, that you will bring healing and deliverance, that you will minister to those that are in need, that you will help those that are in sorrow, that you'll comfort their hearts, that those who are anxious, that you will give them strength and courage, that they will feel your presence with them every day and every night. Oh, dear Lord, help them all to know that you love them, that you're with them, that you're helping them, and that you promise to never leave nor forsake them. Oh, Father, I pray that you'll help everyone that we mentioned today in special ways, and they, during this service, would find that you are sufficient to meet their every need. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bible this morning, would you turn to Genesis, the first book of the Bible? And I don't really think I have preached a message about creation since I have been here. Maybe I have. If I have, I forgot it. And I thought, sometimes us preachers, we leave out some of the basic doctrines of our faith. And that's not to our credit. That's to our shame. And if I've preached about creation, maybe I have a time or two. But I want to, this morning, look at Genesis chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Do I hear a amen? See, we get so used to it. I thought y'all would say, yeah, praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. That's what we ought to do, isn't it? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. So on the first day, God created light. You know, most of us here in Derrick's, Nashville, and Howard County, we just take it for granted that everybody in the world believes that God created the heaven and the earth. Now, I guess most of us, we're aware enough and informed enough to know that is not the truth. I was reading, and what made me think about doing this message today was I read in the news this week about the country of Iceland. Have any of y'all ever been to Iceland? John, have you been to Iceland? No, I've never been to Iceland. Anybody has been? The Washington Post reported this week. In the country of Iceland, literally no young Christians believe that God created the earth. They did a survey of young people, and they found out on that survey, not one believed that God created the heavens and the earth. Not one. 0%. Not one. And the article, which comes from London, it said that if you happen to have the chance to talk to young Icelanders about their religious beliefs, be set for a surprise. Exactly 0% of respondents in a recent survey, said they believe that God created the earth. And 20 years ago, 90% of those in Iceland said they were religious believers. Today, there is less than 50% who say that they are believers. The state church of Iceland is the Evangelical Lutheran Church. And I know they're suffering because there are so many people who live there who claim to be Christian, but they do not believe that God created this world. So it made me thinking about that. And I thought if we were to do a survey in Derrick's and we'd take all the young people, I guess I don't know where we'd start. Probably start junior high school, maybe high school at least. The little bitty ones, I mean, they all believe whatever their parents tell them. But when they get up in high school age, if we did a survey of all the young people, high school, college, junior high, we did a survey of all of them, I just wonder, and we said, do you believe that God created the heavens and the earth like it says in the Bible? I don't know how many of them would say, yes, I do. Or how many of them would say, no, I do not. That'd be a good idea to do a survey sometime. And sometimes I wonder, even in our congregation here, if we took all the people and we thought that all the people really told the truth. Now, sometimes people sign those things and they put what they know we want to hear, but deep in their mind, deep in their heart, they really do not believe it. So surveys are not really that, whether they're up in Iowa or where, we don't know how that's going to come out in the caucus, when is it, tomorrow, in Iowa, when we find out who gets that nomination. Do you believe that God created the heavens and the earth? Well, I certainly do, and I believe it's just like the Bible says it is. So if you ever ask me, or you ask anyone around me, hopefully we'll all say, I believe that God created the heavens and the earth. We believe that God the Father, through the agency of His eternal Son, Jesus, created out of nothing all that is not God by His word of command, and by that same word is upholding everything. That's what, as Christians, as Bible believers, we believe. Now, we always say we ought to love God, we ought to worship God, we ought to adore God, we ought to praise the Lord. But it takes more than just the preacher saying we ought to love God. We need to know something about God, and as we know more about Him, then we grow to love Him. That love comes out of understanding who He is, what He did, what He's doing, how mighty and wonderful God really is. And out of that knowledge comes our love for Him. It really does. Knowing that He is our Creator. There's some verses in the New Testament. I wish I had time to read all of them. For example, there's Romans chapter 15. You might want to turn there. Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. Romans 15 and verse 4. And I'll turn over there with you. Romans 15, 4. Notice what Paul writes. For whatever things were written in earlier times were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. So everything that was written in the Bible, from Genesis all the way through, were written for us, that we might know, that we might learn, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. If you turn back to Romans chapter 11, just a few pages back there, chapter 11 and verse 36, we read, "For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever and forever. Amen." Another verse you need to look at, Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1. It's almost a revelation, but not quite back to the book of Revelation. Hebrews chapter 1. Notice verses 2 and 3. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. See, I was going the wrong direction. Chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. "God, who at sundry times and in different manners spoke in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by His Son." Who is that? "Jesus, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds." So the writer of Hebrews says that through Jesus, by Jesus, He made the worlds. So as Christians, as Bible believers, we believe that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit were all involved in creation. "Hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory, and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high." It says that Jesus Christ is the Creator, and He upholds all things in the universe. I believe there are three things I want us to remember today that are implicated here in this wonderful truth. First of all, God is the Creator of all things, and He created everything out of nothing. Therefore, He owns everything and owns all people absolutely. I believe that's foundational truth. Since He created everything there is out of nothing, therefore He owns everything. And He also owns us. Absolutely. Psalm 95 and verse 5 says, "The sun, the sea is His because He made it." Psalm 89 and verse 11 says, "The heavens and the earth are Thine because You have made them." Psalm 24, 1, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof." Paul tells us in Romans chapter 9 that God is like the potter and we are like the clay. And Paul says in Romans chapter 9, God is taking us. He specifically there talked about Israel as a people. And then through that, he said that we are as clay and God is the potter. And that means that He owns us and He can shape us and He can fashion us however He chooses to do so. He is the Creator. Second truth I want us to take from this. God created us, so everything that exists has a purpose, a goal, and a reason for being. I know that a lot of people in this world would laugh if they were sitting here, and honestly, they might just start laughing and going out the door and saying, "You're crazy, you're foolish." To believe something like that, it is not reasonable. But I believe that everything was created by God. Therefore, everything has a purpose, has a goal, and a reason for being. And that is to bring glory to God. Numbers chapter 14, verse 21 says, "As truly as I live, saith the Lord, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord." That's what God said to Israel. Sometimes we love to sing that song, "Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for all eternity." What a profound truth for such a little simple song. But it is the truth, is it not? I am His and He is mine. Everything exists, and there is a purpose in it. There's a story. Norman Vincent Peale went to a tattoo parlor over in China. He visited that tattoo parlor, and he saw all of the different things that people could put on their bodies with a tattoo. Now, so far, I don't have a tattoo. Some of y'all do, and more power to you. And I may have one. I don't know. Probably Miss Anna won't ever see to that, will you? They're all laughing behind you, Anna. No, I don't. But anyway, Peale visited that tattoo parlor, and he saw all these different things you could put on your body. And one of them that was very popular was "Born to Lose." Hey, I noticed recently in the Texarkana Gazette that the man that wrote that song, "Born to Lose," he passed away. Of course, that's always been one of my favorite songs. "Born to Lose." Wes, I still do it up here. Yeah. That country music song, "Born to Lose." Well, anyway, Peale was looking at that "Born to Lose," and he said to the Chinese artist there, he said, "I mean, how can this be popular? I mean, Born to Lose, who would put this on them? Born to Lose." And this Chinese tattoo artist said, "Before tattoo on body, tattoo in mind." He was saying that a person would put "Born to Lose" on them because before they put it on their body, it was already in their head. It was already in their psyche. It was already in their mind. They were already thinking, I'm born to lose. That is so against God's word. It is such an unholy concept. We are not born to lose. And I would imagine that the only one who would ever tell me that would be the devil or some person that didn't like me. Born to lose. No, we have been created by God. There is a purpose in our life. And there are times of depression when we do feel that way. I know Ray Charles made $1 million with that recording, Born to Lose. But we don't want that to be in our minds because it is not the truth. You are created in the image of God. You are created for a special purpose. There is a reason for you to live, to exist, to be here in this world, and to do more than exist. We've had a lot of suicides in Howard County just the last week or two or three, and people getting to the place where for one reason or another they felt like, I guess I'm born to lose, therefore my life is in vain. There's no reason for me to go on any longer. And they have been calling it quits. There is nothing that is sadder, is that a word? If not, it ought to be. More sad, sadder, saddest, whatever it may be. You English teachers could straighten me out there, I guess. Nothing that's more sad than that, more heartbreaking than for someone, particularly a teenager, a young person who finally believes there's no purpose to my life. There's no reason for me to live. Oh, God has created you. He has created all of us. And there is a purpose for our being. God created everything. Everything exists for a purpose, a goal, and there's a reason for being. The third thing I want to point out this morning is God is our creator, so we are totally dependent on Him for everything. For everything. When I talked to Leslie Winton this morning, and Anna did along with me, we did her wedding, so we've been involved with their family. Matter of fact, when she was born, I knew when she came into this world. And we called and talked to her. And when she said that little 2-pound, 3-ounce baby is there in that hospital. And we said, yeah, totally dependent, totally dependent. 100 years ago, there would have been no hope. But now there is hope. And I thought as I was thinking of depending upon God, how that little baby is there totally dependent on someone to save her life and to take her through. We are like that too. We really and truly are. Without God, without Him, we are nothing. We could not exist. Not a one of us could exist. No one in the world without God. We are totally dependent upon Him. And we're to act like dependent children. That's why we pray. That's why we talk to Him. That's why we trust in Him. Depending upon Him. For He created us. You notice the first thing that God did was create light. He spoke. That's how He did it. He spoke and turned on the light. I've thought about that. When I come into this room and it's pitch dark in here, sometimes Randy does it and gets scared. He came in the other night and turned on the light and somebody was sitting back yonder. And it scared him. He told me about that. When I come in and turn on the light, I turn on the light so I can see what's in the room. That's the reason we turn on the light. That's not why God turned on the light. He didn't turn on the light so He could see what's in the world or in the room or in the universe. Apparently He created light as a lesson to all of us that He is the light, that we need the light. And it was prophetic in the sense that one day, Jesus, who was there in that whole creation process, would come and be born of Mary in Bethlehem of Judea, there in the stable, and we would call it Christmas, and that Jesus would come as the light, and that Jesus would be able to say, finally, I am the light of the world. There's no darkness in me, and how we need Him as our light. Some people are blind and they don't have to be. There's a story about a lady named Rose Crawford, and she was blind for 50 years. Finally, she had an operation. It restored her sight, and when she could see, oh my, this is beautiful. I never dreamed that I would ever be able to see all of this. And that was a wonderful experience. But what makes it sad is that 20 years before, they had perfected an operation that would have restored her sight had she known about it, but she didn't know about it. So far, at age 30, she could have seen had she known, and they did the surgery, she could have seen. But all that time, Rose thought, nothing can ever be done for me. Nothing. But finally it was. And you know, I feel that there's some of us, maybe even in this building here this morning, that we can't see, but we could. Someone did something to bring our sight. It was Jesus. And He went to the cross, and He died on Calvary, and He paid the full price for our sins. We couldn't do it. He did it for us. And therefore, He made possible that we can see. One of our favorite songs we love to sing is Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. It may be that here this morning, you're here today and you think, you know, I just wish I could see the light. I wish I could see the light. I wish I could believe that God created everything. I wish I, in my heart, I could believe that God created everything that is out of nothing. I wish that I could believe that there is the Creator, and therefore because He created me in His image, I belong to Him. He is mine. I am dependent upon Him. I wish I could see the light. I wish the light could come on in my mind. It comes really as a flash. It comes the moment we believe. The moment we believe. I remember when I was pastor in Texarkana at Highland Park, we had a young man come there from Jordan. He was not a Christian. We all got to love him, and he even taught our son Sean how to do fencing for a little while. He was into that for a few months or weeks. But this young man, he was a Muslim. And he came and he lived with one of our families. He was college age. And we all thought, how would we ever reach him? How would the light of the gospel ever shine? But I remember when it did. I remember when it did. And I remember that he said to me before I baptized him, he said, I had all these questions and I didn't know all of the answers. But when finally the Lord came into my heart and spoke to my mind, suddenly all of those questions disappeared. And he says, I saw the light. It may be that in your deepest heart and mind today, you're in darkness. It may be that you're wandering in darkness, but how you need the light of the gospel. And Jesus came for you. He loves you. He wants to save you. And you have the key to that. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, or you'd brag about it. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for today, for those who are in this very room. And dear Lord, I don't know why we're all here, but you do, and I believe we're all here for a purpose. It was not accidental that we came. And this message was for all of us, but maybe especially for someone or ones here. Lord, you've spoken to us. Your word is truth. And I pray that your Spirit, as He speaks to us, would motivate us to do what you want us to do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.